Phil Jones, 2.5 years ago, you went from complaints manager for a energy firm to now, 2.5 years later, being the number one estate agent in the Lake District for houses over £500,000. I'd like you to tell me your story of why you set up the agency, its trials and tribulations, and why, how after 2.5 years, you are number one. Talk to me. Phil, what the hell did you want to set up an estate agency for?
So, it was around about 3 years ago. Me and Sam were discussing things that I could do potentially to come away from that industry. And it was the golden...
So who's Sam?
Sam Ashdown.
Sam Ashdown. I did know that, but I just want just the guys out there. They
who is my mother-in-law.
Your mother-in-law.
Yes, and now co-director. I don't know which one comes first, but... So
you're married to her daughter. What's the name of your wife?
Molly.
Okay, good stuff. Yes. And you've got a daughter, haven't you?
We have a little boy called Noah.
And
a little girl called...
Yes. Rosie. Oh, it was right.
Yes. Yeah.
How old are they?
Noah was 4 last week, and okay. Rosie's 1, so started to cause mayhem.
So your mother-in-law is a well-known estate agency guru trainer. Mm-hmm. Was it just one night you decided did you have enough of your job?
So, it was almost the golden handcuffs where I got the job very young.
How old are you now?
I'm 27 now. I was 19 when I first got the job. For my age in that area, it was great money. But I was into a system where I was getting told what to do all the time, which I've never been very good at. And
I don't think most men are.
No, I don't think so. So it got to a stage where I desperately wanted to do something on my own.
Okay.
But I didn't quite know what. I had no particular skills or interest in any sectors. So we played around with a few ideas, and then there was an obvious one where the biggest objection Sam was always getting was, well, you're not an agent. So we sat down one evening and discussed it, and she was saying, no.
When was this? What year was this then?
This was 2016, end of 2016.
Okay.
About October, November. And she was saying, no, they work way too hard, estate agents, don't need to do that. And eventually I convinced her, and so we thrashed it all out, and it was April the 1st, so April Fool's, which it did feel like at the time, that we opened Ashdown Jones.
Okay, so what were your hopes of setting up an agency then?
So I didn't really have any idea what to expect. I remember going in day one, sitting down at my desk in Sam's living room and thinking, what the hell do I do now? And
how did that make you feel?
Had I done the right thing?
Okay.
So I obviously trusted Sam, but she had all her own stuff going on that was busy. And then all of a sudden I was in charge of this estate agency that had no leads, no clients, no knowledge. You know, if someone had come to us in any kind of position to sell, I didn't really have a clue what to do.
So how was the business set up? So you've obviously got one of the UK's number one marketing estate agency gurus. Mm. So she very, very macro in terms of the ideas, but it was your job to put it into action.
Yeah,
she had
exactly.
Her own things.
Exactly that. Yeah, okay. Exactly that. So
what were you hoping to get from being an agent? I mean, what did Molly say?
Yeah, God knows what Molly was doing, but she trusted me.
Okay. Did she have any fears at this time? You know, basically her husband with one child at this point, mm-hmm. 1 year old.
Yeah.
Okay. Or 1.5. Decent income.
Yeah. Decent lifestyle.
Okay.
I finish work at 4 o'clock every day.
Okay. Did it take some persuading for her to put everything on the line? Because I assume, do you own your own house? Or do you rent?
We rent at the moment, yeah.
Okay. But basically, who's going to pay for the rent if you messed it all up?
Yeah, it sounds crazy, but she was fully supportive.
Okay.
And now she says she had her doubts and concerns, but trusted me crazily.
She didn't want to burden you with those with those worries?
Yes.
Okay. Did you have that feeling at the time that she was worried? Or were you just like most men, oblivious to it and just get on with it?
Yeah, absolutely oblivious to it. I expected to go in there day one, do all the marketing stuff that we need to do, and to have a consistent flow of leads that would come in. And I knew 3 to 6 months it would take in order to actually start bringing money in, but yeah, I didn't realise how difficult it would be to get a name out there and to get any kind of leads coming our way.
Was this a surprise to Sam as well? Or was it a case
not really. But no, Sam's always of the thought that if you do the right things, eventually stuff will come your way, whereas I wanted it now.
Do you think that's down to your age? I mean, you are a classic, in terms of age range, and I don't want to tag you, a classic millennial, where we all want things instantly, but more with technology, we're used to things instantly now.
I think it was more lack of experience and knowledge, okay, more than my age.
Okay. So when you set up the agency, did you particularly want to target a particular type of property or price range, or just let's chuck it on the market and off we go?
So this is my biggest learning and the biggest reason why we've been successful, really, is I personally would have done what every other agent does. And even if you got an idea to go high end, a couple of lower end ones come towards you and you think, well, we'll go with that because just to get some money in. And I remember a couple of these happened and Sam was saying, we can't go there. We can't go there. And it used to drive me crazy thinking, you know, that's £3,000 sat there. And we were wanting a home that was £700,000 and we left and I thought, £11,000 fee. And she looked at me and said, the house was horrible. The owners didn't understand what we were about. We're not taking it. And it took me weeks to get over the fact that walking away from a home that didn't suit your brand and didn't suit what you were about and people that didn't get you was the strongest thing you can possibly do to future-proof what you're about.
Take some balls, don't it, when there's no money coming in. How did that make you feel, walking away from money?
It was... we didn't get on for a few weeks okay. After that. It was, yeah, it was extremely difficult, extremely difficult. And when I try and suggest that to agents now that come to us for help in a similar situation...
Do you think if it wasn't for Sam in those early days, you might have been tempted by the light?
Without doubt, yeah. It is my biggest reason why Sam helped me initially to get to a certain stage. I would without a doubt have gone there. Yeah.
Okay, so you opened up your office. First couple of weeks. What did you start doing? Picking the phone up to people? Ringing out?
So first week, I sent out 20 letters.
Okay. What, to properties that were on the market properties with another agent?
Yes, correct.
Okay. And what did you expect from those?
I expected 19 phone calls. One might have been on holiday.
Okay.
So next morning, I sat by the phone, checked the watch, it was 11 o'clock, thought, the postman's slow today. Then no calls. So next morning again, I sat by the phone and thought, this phone's not working. So I called it and annoyingly it rang.
I bet you checked the telephone number on the letter as well.
Absolutely, yeah, twice. Twice, yeah. And it was a deflating feeling. I'd gone from opening thinking, within 2 weeks we're going to have this £1 million property, and £1 million property means automatically 15,000 and we're 1% for the first 10 properties. So
yeah,
but to now all of a sudden, well, what do we do now?
What did you do now?
So Sam was on some kind of call and I'd done everything I could for that day, and I thought, why on earth has this person who's been on the market for 4 or 5 years Four or five years. Not read my letter and thought, I've got to give these guys a call. So I went and asked them.
Wait, you went and knocked on the door?
Yes.
Took some balls to do.
It was probably a bit of ignorance as well.
Okay.
Where I had no idea that it was any kind of issue in the industry or a talked about subject.
So you knocked on the door?
Yeah.
What did you say when they opened the door?
I said, I introduced myself and just said, is there any way we can help you? And they invited me in. We had a 5-minute chat. I arranged, I didn't want to do the appointment there. I arranged for us to come back later in the week, which I think is really important to do. Again, that was just luck. It wasn't planned.
Okay.
We went to the valuation appointment later in the week and got it and managed to sell it within 4 weeks, and it had been on the market for 5 years.
Okay.
So straight away, that was a massive, powerful boost for us in the area.
How did that make you feel, that you basically changed someone's life?
So I probably opened the industry as more of the agency as a more of a personal ego thing.
You did?
Yes. And that was the first point I realised that what we could actually do to help people's lives. Estate agencies...
It's quite nice to have your name across the door, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it was nice to tell people what you were doing. And okay. and that was the first point I realised that it wasn't really about me or anyone that works in the team. And at that point, I targeted everyone that had been on the market for that length of time. I remember we went to one couple up in Keswick that had been on for 6 years, had flooding issues, desperately wanted to just go live with the grandparents, sold it in a week. And they still ring me and message me now. They sent me a message on Christmas Day last year saying, got all my 18 grandchildren. I don't know if it was a nice text or a negative text. But you don't realise the power you can have on people's lives. And I don't think the public realise that either. I think they see us as a necessity, not a not something that is needed necessarily, if that makes sense. But the power that a good agent can have on someone's life is enormous. And that was something I didn't appreciate coming into the industry.
So you realised that after sending 20 letters, you got nothing out and you went and knocked on the door. But one flash in the pan doesn't make a gold rush.
No, absolutely. And so then I went to knock on a door, another door that I hadn't sent a letter to, and got quite a different reaction.
What reaction did you get?
Who are you? You know, never heard of you.
Okay.
Young boy in a brand new red Mazda. Go away. That kind of reaction. So I thought,
how did that make you feel? You know, you've got the highs of knocking on the door and getting it on the market, and then you've got the lows of someone telling you to bugger off.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's never a nice... Anyone that says they like door knocking, good on you, but for me, it's a horrible experience. It's not... what I have got to really tell myself to get to that door.
Do you feel this now, or did you feel this after the rejection of
the... Now. No, I'm still
what,
not.
You still don't like door knocking?
No. But I don't like... There's a lot of things I don't like doing, but I still do.
Okay. So in the early day... Okay, so you got knocked back on your second property.
Yes. So then I realised...
You obviously continued door knocking, because you told me that earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
What made you keep going? Because there's plenty of... 99% of the valuers watching this, as soon as they get a negative, they kick back, they shut down.
Yeah, so I realised that the difference was they hadn't had anything from me, so there was no credibility there, there was no knowledge there.
Okay.
So I made a system where I'd send them 1, 2, 3 letters explaining X, Y, Z,
okay,
and then I'd be in a position to go and knock on the door,
okay,
and had a genuine reason.
To knock on the door,
yeah.
Okay. So... You were targeting other agents' properties because you were a new agent.
Correct.
You found out that you'd set a system up of 3 letters and a door knock.
Mm-hmm.
Were you getting a good hit rate from that?
I probably converted 90% into instructions.
Wow.
From people that were in, yeah.
So the magic is the door knocking, is the letters, door knock.
Correct.
Yet still today...
I don't, crazily, I don't do it as much today at all. And it's a time thing. It's an excuse, really.
It is.
It's probably an excuse because I don't like it.
Okay, it's bullshit. Sorry,
yeah, it is bullshit. Okay. And actually, last week I thought about it. I'm going to go and do some at the end of this week to get back into it.
Okay, so let's roll on to now 6 months, okay? You told me earlier on that things are going really, really well. So what, you're putting houses on the market? Were you naturally getting properties now because you were selling other stuff? Or was it all... Everything you were generating was because you went out and got it?
Yeah, it was still at this point, the 6 month mark, rare that someone would come towards us. We maybe had two or three.
But most of the business... But you said to me at 6 months that basically you going out hunting it actually ended up meaning that you're almost getting too much business in and you stopped doing what... This is ringing alarm bells to me at the moment, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, we'll come back to that in a second. Why did you stop? Why did you stop sending the letters and the door knocking?
I had a whiteboard behind me with all the homes that were coming to market, and there was 13 on there. And there was me, Sam, and Rebecca in the office, three of us. And I thought...
What was Rebecca's job?
At the time, she was office manager, but just answering the phones.
Okay.
Very office-based.
Okay. And how much time was Sam in the business?
Valuations, that was it.
Okay.
So
you'd go out as a twosome, would you?
We still do.
Yes.
Still do, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I thought 13 homes over the next couple of weeks is going to take all my time up. If any more come in, I don't really have time. If I'm putting 13 on the market, that'll look good. If I sell half of them, it's going to bring in X amount of money. I've only got one member staff. Don't really need anything else at this stage. And
what happened?
I probably thought I'd cracked it here. So 3 or 4 weeks later, we'd done all the photo shoots, done everything we needed to do, and the whiteboard had no houses on, and the diary had no valuations in. And I suddenly thought, I've not done a single piece of marketing in 4, 5, 6 weeks. And the worst thing about all this is we started marketing again, got it back up, and I did the same thing again.
Sounds like you're starting to do the same thing again, mate. But I know you've got other marketing techniques which you've brought on, which isn't all about door knocking.
Yeah, now we've got a lot more. It's all systemized, and I can step out of that now. So
how did you move from being a proactive door knocker to, I think you said you've got three techniques: direct mail, social media content, and funnels.
Yes.
Which I'd like to talk about. Why didn't you start with direct mail, social media content, and funnels from day one?
We did, but we didn't do it consistently, or we didn't do it anywhere near as well as we do now.
And is that how have you got better? Why have you got better?
So on the direct mail side of things, which I've taken very seriously for the last 2 years, and I really enjoy the idea of psychology and marketing and selling that side of things. I'm not really into persuasion, or I don't think you necessarily need persuasion, but I'm a massive fan of Dan Kennedy. Still not sure if he's alive or at the moment, but so I read all of his books, listened to all of his YouTube seminars, and realised we're sending out okay letters, but they were nowhere near the standard they are now. And
because I know in another video, which is going to be on my YouTube channel, we're going to go into a lot more detail of what good looks like. But basically, you improved your letters.
Dramatically, yeah.
And are these two letters to properties on the market with other agents?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We've tried not on the market direct mail. It's very difficult.
Well, you're basically throwing your seed out and you don't know where it's going to hit the earth or at least with some of the property on the market.
Yes, exactly. So there are better methods for not on the market than direct mail.
Okay. And from that direct mail, that's been one of the three reasons why you are number one in terms of listings and sales in the lakes, over £500,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Talk to me about your social media content. Why wasn't that any good at the start?
I think content does take a while to get going, and we had no name, we had nothing for anyone to necessarily come towards us. And I've seen you talk about it recently as well, where we were trying to get people here with content, not necessarily just before putting the house on the market.
That's what everyone tries to get people just as about to put the house on the yes. market, when in reality you should be getting them 6-12 months before. Yeah. So you're the only agent when they do want to sell, you're the only agent.
Yes, so we were going loft extensions, you know, how do we make more of our space, rather than which agent to choose. So we were playing the very much long game.
You were playing the long game.
But at that time, we didn't necessarily have that time, but we that's what we were doing.
Yeah. Okay. So by the very nature of playing the long game, as soon as you don't get the instant results.
Correct.
So would you say that by starting the long game 2.5 years ago, that you have now seen the fruits of your labour now?
It took 18 months, I'd say. I remember going into evaluation and the couple said, "We've been reading your blogs for the last 18 months. And that was the first time I thought, finally, Sam.
Why? Did you, what doubt? I mean, this is classic content marketing. Were you having doubts on the content marketing technique?
We just weren't seeing.
No, you.
I'm me personally, you. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I know Sam gets it.
Yeah, I mean, we as a company.
But I'm asking you, yeah, Phil Jones.
Yeah, I wasn't seeing any return.
Do you think if you were on your own, you might have ditched it? What?
Yes.
Because you weren't seeing any return.
Yes.
What would you say to any agent who doesn't see the instant results in 3-4 months with content marketing?
It's building, it's future-proofing your company, and it will allow you to step away from the day-to-day, not necessarily the day-to-day, but I call it the £10, £100 jobs further down the line. It'll bring people towards you rather than you having to go towards them.
Because are you now getting people just naturally coming to you? You're almost being the only agent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we had a valuation last week. They had 3 homes, not getting anyone else out. It's not even really in our area, 45 minutes away. £25,000 fee, all because of our content.
And how does that make you feel?
Relieved that we continued it, and frustrated that other agents fall into the trap I was falling into and don't continue it, because it's professional to be persistent with your content, and all you're doing is you're helping people either make decisions or you're helping people move on in their lives. And
but you're not necessarily getting anything in return.
I don't think you can look at it like that. You've got to come from a position of serving, and then you've got to earn the right to sell. I'm massive on that. And agents go sell.
Or take.
Or
try and take.
Take, yes, yeah, sell, close, and then I'll give a bit of serving here.
Yeah.
And it's yeah. So the other way around.
I call it the get or give. I think you've got to give or give as receive. You've got to pay it forward.
Absolutely, yeah. And people think, well, or agents always say, well, they'll take what I'm telling them and use it somewhere else. But people don't do that. If you give them what they need, irrelevant of fee, they'll come towards you.
Let's talk about the funnels. I'm assuming you're talking about Facebook funnels and,
yeah,
and Google AdWords, or just Facebook?
Just Facebook, really.
Okay. Yeah. So again, you started from day one with funnels. What did you learn? Because you know, there's plenty of people out there that sell funnels.
Mm-hmm.
What did you learn by actually being an agent with the funnels?
Okay, so the first funnel we did was probably the generic funnel of online valuation into valuation landing page, and then on email nurture system off the back of that.
Yes.
What we were finding is it was attracting the total wrong market. We were getting a lot of £100,000, £200,000 homes that okay. are great for some okay. agents, but it's not okay. what.
So I know we're going to go into an awful lot more detail about specifically about funnels, and I've managed to convince you that you're going to give most of your secrets away.
Yeah.
Give me an overview, a macro view of what you learned from doing funnels, especially to the middle to upper top end of the market.
So it's amazing what information people will give you if you offer the right type of content. So the lead magnet or the content that you offer, if you get that right and you target it towards a specific market. And so before you do anything, start, you need to know who you're trying to target in your mind.
Yes.
So ideal client is massive for us. Think, and we go to the exact person. So is it male, is it female? How old are they? What type of dog do they have? What kind of car do they drive? And once you have that person in your mind, what do they want to know? And from there, where do they fish? So are they on Facebook? Are they on Instagram? Are they, you know, where are they? And what will they want to see in their newsfeed that will attract them to get to this point?
Okay, and basically in one of the videos which we're going to do separate to this, but it'll be on my YouTube channel, you're going to give an awful lot away on that.
Yeah.
That's very nice. So now, you're 2.5 years in, your number one agent in terms of lakes, in terms of listings and sales, over £500,000, as you've told me. How do you feel about that?
Proud.
Okay.
So it's...
Let's get it straight. Who does the work?
I run the company.
Yes.
And then me and Sam decide on the direction the company's going in. And then we have a team that implement all that.
And how have you grown as a person in the last 2.5 years?
You saw, when did you see me? 6 months ago? How was I in front of camera? Be brutal.
Well, if you don't mind me saying, I've been very pleasantly surprised with what's been coming out of your mouth.
I thought you would be.
Very pleasantly surprised. I've also come to the conclusion that, you know, Sam Ashdown's a friend of mine. She is up there with the best in terms of estate agency gurus. Yet it's quite obviously that you are a man of independent thought.
Mm-hmm. We argue a lot.
Okay. I mean, it must be brilliant yet challenging to have Sam as part of the business, good and bad. And I say that from a place of love.
And she would say exactly the same thing. We have this unwritten rule where whoever cares most about a decision, we go in that direction. And it's very much 50-50 in terms of direction and where we want to be in a number of years.
Okay. And what is the future for you and your family in this business?
I've just taken on my sister to work for us.
God, keep it in the family.
I know. The agency as a whole is never going to be worth any money. It is me and Sam. We don't do lettings. So it's nothing to do with, you know, to sell out or anything like that. We want to create something that my kids can come and work in if they want to. It can be a test bed for everything we want to do in the other companies. And it's there primarily now to help people that desperately need to move for circumstances and to make sure that allow them to do that.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but haven't you set up a firm to help agents with your learnings? And I don't want to do a promo, but I want to mention it.
Yes, so we have a company called Firewave. And that's all the lead generation techniques we've learned and implemented in Ashdown Jones to get to where we are now. That's exactly what they are. So there's 3 done-for-you services that we do.
I also know that you've helped some of my clients on their branding of their firm and the way they operate, especially in this middle to top end range. I tell you, who speaks very highly of you guys is David and Lottie from Penn
yes.
James.
Yeah.
And I can certainly see the influences that you and Sam have taught them, and they're going great guns in Rutland and South Lincolnshire.
Yeah, coming away from that side of things. We just want to teach, really. Everything that we learn, we now run regular events. So every 2 months we do a tour of the country. So tomorrow, we're in Guildford, and we do one of these three things. So it's either direct mail, it's content, or it's funnels, and that's the route we're going down more than the coaching side of things.
Okay, but if someone particularly wanted some coaching, is that if the price is right?
Well, to be honest, what I'd prefer to do is, because I'm so lucky, I've had the guidance I have to get to where I am now. I would love to chat to people just.
So basically, just not even charge them, just basically help someone else in the industry.
Correct.
I mean, just what final tips would you, forget the funnels and the content and the direct mail, which we're going to talk about in greater detail in separate videos. What advice would you give to someone, an agent who thinks to themselves, in one sentence, what your marketplace isn't £500,000 upwards in the Lakes, is it? Well, how is that just? You go for unique homes, don't you?
Correct.
Why have you specified? Do you think it's important that agents create a niche for themselves?
I think it's important in business to have a niche.
Okay. So what advice would you give to agents in creating that niche from what you've learned as an agent?
Okay, so great question. The most powerful thing that you can possibly do is have a niche market and do anything you possibly can to stick to that market. Be known for that market and have people come towards you and pay the 50% higher fee than anyone else in the area because you are the only person in that market is, well, it's so powerful. And you can't really, when it happens, you can't beat it, really.
Thank you, Phil.